Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast.
And I know I say this a lot, this is Brad talking, but this is...
Hey, you do have to differentiate, by the way, because one of my buddies told me last week, he goes, hey, man, love the podcast. Mm-hmm. Gave me a lot of great compliments, but he goes, yeah. I can't totally tell who's who sometimes. He goes, the voices are both deep. He goes, you can tell when you guys have your styles of making jokes. And if I go into Danza and you go into...
If I go into Michael Caine, sure. or if I go into Jason Statham.
Or your stereotypical high dwarf voice.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if you hear a killer Shakira impression, you know that's me going, exactly.
Wow, yeah.
That's mine.
Yeah.
That's Brad Williams. Anyway.
Our
guest today, and what I was about to say is, this is absolutely one of my favorite episodes.
It might be one of my favorites. It might be one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah. Pete Holmes. Pete Holmes, you know him from the Pete Holmes Show on TBS. It was after Conan. Various stints on late night shows and
his podcast. You Made It Weird,
which is a great.
It's one of the top podcasts.
Absolutely,
his stand up comedy. He was the voice of the E-Trade Baby.
Mm-hmm.
We get into all this stuff, by the way.
This podcast we had the most varying range of topics.
Yeah.
We went from the absolute super silly, which you will find out.
At one point, let's just say there were three Arnold Schwarzenegger. And three mm-hmm. Morgan Freemans talking
all at the same time. So enjoy that when that happens. Just genuine laughs from all of us, and we did that. But then we got into serious topics as well, as terms of censorship. What should comedians be allowed to talk about? What should we joke about, not joke about? And it was a really fascinating conversation, and Pete has a great take on it. So,
and also hearing his take on his show, getting canceled after two seasons, and having a show, and the stresses and the joys of it, and the process. And transitioning back into stand-up. And he's just, like, such a genuinely good dude. What's great, again, about this podcast is I have had two conversations with him that were both no longer than 10 minutes at an audition and at an airport, but just been such a fan.
Yeah.
And one of my buddies wrote for a show, but I got his email and would just send him an email, like, you know, after seeing him at the airport, being like, hey, man, it was good to see you, blah, blah, blah. Congrats on whatever was going on. Then I congratulated him on the show when I saw him, and he always got back to me. And I just kind of, like, sent out, like, a genuine, like, congrats on the show because I like who you are and what you do. He would have some episodes of his podcast I really enjoyed. I would send him a message. He'd get thanks, man. Even if it was just a quick thanks, man. But it was enough dialogue to where I was like, I wonder if he'd do the podcast. I'd love to have him on. And he was like, how's Monday? I hit him up on Friday. He said, how's Monday?
Perfect.
Brad was flying back.
Yeah, I'm flying back from Denver going, holy shit, we got Pete Holmes?
By the way, that's what's great about this, too, is that, like, we have to be at the mercy of people's schedules sometimes.
Yeah.
You flew in at 8:30 in the morning.
Right. And went right. Well, first I stopped off at Wendy's for a spicy chicken sandwich.
Hey, easy. They don't sponsor us.
They don't yet. They should, so we can get some free spicy chicken sandwiches.
I walked into my apartment complex, and Brad is sitting in the gazebo.
Yeah,
there's a nice little gazebo in my apartment complex. So when I first walked in, I go, I'm gonna read there every day. I'm gonna swim in that pool every morning. I haven't done either, but hey. Brad is chowing down on a Wendy's fucking chicken sandwich like. Not only is it the last chicken sandwich ever made, but like it's the last meal he's gonna have.
It was so good, so flew in, no time to go home, just come right here and have a great interview with the fantastically funny and charming and sounds like I'm flirting with him. But you know what? Maybe I am.
Hey man, he's a good guy to have a comedy crush on because he's smart, he's funny, and he's got a lot to say about stuff. And I think we had really like intelligent conversations.
Yeah, it wasn't all Dick and DuckTales jokes.
Well, there was
we did throw some Dick and DuckTales jokes. Yeah. I mean, it is
our
let's be honest.
Pete is on Twitter at Pete Holmes. You can see all of the clips from his show, which you should. I mean, he's got interviews.
Great
with Kembe Mutombo and Shaq, and he does these great Street Fighter bits, like these sketches where he's interviewing them for like a job.
Like, he's an HR guy interviewing Blanca.
Yeah.
So it's just awesome.
I think that's all at the PeteHolmesShow.com and all his tour dates at PeteHolmes.com. Check out his stand-up. He's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And tweet him that you liked him on the podcast.
Please do.
People like that. Brad, where are you going to be coming up?
Well, I will tell you. For all my tour dates, go to BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter. Twitter at FunnyBrad. Kansas City, I'm coming. I'm going to be at the Improv July 24th through the 27th. And when I'm not at the Improv, I'll be at Oklahoma Joe's eating some great barbecue. Love that place. Kansas City, be there. And then San Antonio, Texas, I'm going to be at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club July 31st through August 3rd. Please come out to those. And then Tempe, Arizona, I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv August 7th. Through the 10th. So come out to see those shows as well. Adam, where are you going to be, my man?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow me on Instagram at Adam Ray 33. I think, Brad, you are Brad Williams
Comic.
Comic on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I will be at the Punchline in San Francisco Wednesday, July 23rd through Saturday, July 26th. Go to AdamRayTV.com to get tickets and info. It's one of my favorite clubs in the country. San Fran's a great city. Come out and see the shows. These are special shows, too, because I'm bringing my buddy keyboardist Jeff Scott from the Comedy Store. We're doing half stand-up, half improvised songs, baby.
And this is something you've got to see live. Listen, Adam is my friend, so automatically I'm sort of prone to like what he does, but this is really funny shit, and it's really original. I don't see anyone else doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
So, and I can tell that you generally have a good time doing it.
I love it.
So definitely come out to see those shows and listen to the podcast. Obviously you are, but go to iTunes and rate the podcast for us. Write some comments. That helps us climb the ratings, which helps really great guests go, oh, look, your podcast is number 22. Your podcast number 11.
Sure.
I should go on that podcast.
Yeah.
That helps us. So thank you guys for doing that. And when you're at our website, aboutlastnightpodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner. Doesn't cost you an extra dime. That'll take you right to Amazon. You do your shopping on Amazon.com as normal, and then they kick us back some money so we can buy the services of Pete Holmes. We bought Pete Holmes. It was great.
Yeah. Pete Holmes crushed on this episode.
He did.
And we've got a lot of other crushers coming up. That's why you got to download the podcast on iTunes or whatever app you use, or listen to it on AboutLastNightPodcast.com and stream all the episodes. Coming up, in addition to Pete Holmes, we've got Bert Kreischer, Sam Tripoli,
Theo Vaughn,
Aaron Foley, Justin Ruppel, Steve Byrne, Ahmed Ahmed, John Stamos. It is happening.
It will happen.
It is happening. We keep teasing you with it, but it is happening. We got confirmation shortly, not too long ago. Whether he's going to be live in studio or over the phone, we will be doing this. Nick Thune, Rory Scovel, Jay Moore, just a few other names that are going to be coming on the show. So get the show so that you can hear all these episodes. That's the info. Those are the tour dates. Those are the Twitters. Now, sit back and enjoy this special episode of the About Last Night podcast
with Pete Holmes.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Wearing lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Just for the guests.
Premium.
I don't know. Do we just start? I don't know.
Yeah, just pull that up.
And... yeah, we just kind of go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little ashamed that Adam started playing that song.
No, it's a great song.
But see, I'm ashamed of the fact that I knew who it was.
That is something you might want to look in like.
Well, he didn't even hesitate, dude. He did one of these where he was like, isn't that, and who sings it?
Take That.
Yeah, and Brad goes, isn't it Take That? I go, don't even try to put a question mark there. where he's got like all their CDs in his car, but he's like, isn't that the,
man, Robbie Williams has had a very impressive career arc.
You know someone in the group.
Robbie Williams.
Well, he's huge, right?
Because then he went on to do Millennium, and well, you know.
I don't know.
I don't have to tell you about Robbie Williams.
I've watched TV in Europe, so I know who Robbie Williams is. But why do you, a good American man, know who Robbie Williams is?
Well, who doesn't know one of the great British crooners? You know what I mean? Like
I don't even know you anymore.
They're so few and far between.
You think you know your podcast?
And then he came out
with this podcast.
And then he came out with that album called "Swing When You're Winning," where he did all the classics. Where he did "Mac the Knife." You didn't hear Robbie Williams singing "Mac the Knife"?
No, I didn't.
Your ears do not know heaven, Pete Holmes. Holmes until you hear Robbie Williams.
What kind of music do you like?
I only remember his name because it's so similar to Robin Williams. I'm not even trying to do a bit. I just
I've had that exact same thing happen. For a long time, I was like, I love that singer Robin Williams. They're like, the guy from Mrs. Doubtfire? Yes, but also...
Yeah. I want you back.
Mrs. Doubt, Robin Williams.
As Mrs. Doubtfire sings the hits.
Oh, that is perfect.
I would absolutely buy that
I think
album.
Everyone has a Mrs. Doubtfire impression at some point.
You
in
have
life.
To. Well, because he was himself doing an impression of an old lady. And someone doing an impression is always easier to do the impression than just
totally,
being themselves.
Totally.
What kind of, I like shitty pop music.
Yeah?
I just don't know Take Five.
Take that. Listen,
take
man.
Take Five, the Kit Kat bar.
Listen,
I'm
man.
I'm allowed to not know the
If
bands.
You're not going to get Take That right, we can ask you to leave right now.
I just jump in your pool.
I'm sorry. I'm going to make an executive decision right now.
I've done that, though, pretending I don't know what a band. You know what? My first.
If you want to pull that thing a little closer to your face, yeah. And I am talking about the mic, listeners. Hey.
You talking about a deck. I was Paul Abdul.
You can take it out if you want to hold it. Whatever you want to do. Still talking about the mic, by the way.
No.
Okay. There's microphones here.
Not in my mouth.
Paul Abdul.
Paul Abdul was the first tape I owned.
Awesome. Yeah. How was this attract?
I think it was.
Yeah. So
it was
so you looked at MC Scat Cat. And it's like, I want that to be me one
MC
day.
Scat it's funny. Cat. MC
he doesn't
Scat
know his
Cat.
Dad's birthday, and he knows all these names.
I know MC Scat Cat.
I think you said I know his dad's birthday.
Wasn't that guy's name? It wasn't Dido, but it was something similar to Dido.
Oh, now I gotta look this.
No,
shit
so,
up.
But he had that song. I like it. That's the way it has to be.
Yes.
And I remember going into the Newbury Comics in Burlington, Massachusetts, and I was probably 15 or something,
right.
Really easily embarrassed and being like, I want that song, but I didn't know his name, and then I had to sing it, and then it's not a cool song.
No.
And then like the very cool salesperson or whatever you want to call them, people that work at Newbury College went over and like found the single for me.
It's so funny. Eric Myers, really talented comedian, has a great bit where he talks about how like now people just can Google and like be like, oh, what was that song?
That's right.
Like back in the day, you had to go to Sam Goody
and sing the song to sing the employee.
That's what it was. And it had like an embarrassing, like, that's the way I like. And then I had a woman go, oh. You know what I mean? So like, I was like, do I do the female sex groan?
Oh, my God.
Will they know? It was humiliating.
Will they know the song if I don't do the female sex groan? That was your whole thing as you were walking there. Yeah.
Well, I was humiliated because I remember that sex groan did it for me.
Yeah.
In fact, that's part of the reason why I liked Paula Abdul. I don't understand
why. As a 15-year-old boy.
Cosmopolitan.
Sure.
Paula Abdul. Britney Spears, all these things. It's like, why are these for girls? Why, when I was in college, like, that's when Hit Me Baby One More Time came out, and we were all like, that shit's for queers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, but it's a really hot chick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my hormones are raging. Singer.
Exactly. Yeah. On the front cover, you could pretty much, I don't have to explain.
Well, I mean, why is it for girls? Hit Me Baby One Time is for girls because what? Because it's a girl. I mean, everything in that song and music video is for boys.
Yep.
Schoolgirl fantasy.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
So is it just because it's a, as a guy, you can't like a female artist?
Well, that's the thing with Cosmopolitan. That was like the only place that I was seeing. Like, it's like MILFs on the cover of Cosmopolitan. It's like not always like in their 20s. Sometimes they're like pushing 30, like an older Cindy Crawford will still rock Cosmopolitan. Always in like some ridiculous push-up bra. And when I was a kid, this is pre-porn. You know, this is, you want to talk about your buddy's bet. You couldn't just type in like, brunette. One nipple out, smoking a cigar. 8,000 images.
Oh my
result, you know what I mean?
8,000 images for
so
that.
Many. I was wondering how much would pop up for that.
Like,
I told you. I knew you would wonder. It was 8,000.
But that's a premium example because you talk about a Paula Abdul song where she groaned a little bit, moaned sexually.
Yep.
And back
that
in that day,
big deal.
That's all you had.
That was a big
deal. You had to go through that. For me, it was the TLC.
Yep.
Like Creep.
I was going to say Red Light Special.
Oh, Red Light, Red Light Special.
Because you'd have to wait for that. You'd have to, don't want to fall in love. Remember that video?
Chris Isaak?
Everybody talks about that video because it just was porn.
It was porn.
Before we porn.
It was inner prime Helena Christensen rolling around on the beach. Like
black and white.
Yeah, black and white, practically topless. How do I know the names? Maybe I've researched it. Whatever.
Possibly.
What makes me sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
What makes me sad is if I watch that video now, I wouldn't even get a half erection.
No. You wouldn't. You'd be like, one topless girl on the beach. There's not even a donkey.
Yeah, that's exactly
how am I supposed to come?
I'm big on that thing. It's a problem. We're fucked. The kids that are watching porn are fucked.
They are.
At least I didn't get introduced to it till I was like way older.
Yeah. Right. Do you feel lucky about that?
Oh, yeah. No fooling. I feel a little bad. I just did Corolla's podcast and talked about this. And I realized while I was talking about it, I was like, I talked about this on Alison Rosen's podcast too. So
that's okay, though.
Same network.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's just a thing that it's one of my, it's not a talking point as more, it's like something that's very interesting to me. It's what's happening to human sexuality. Is like,
yes,
we're totally butt fucking ourselves. This is something I've said on stage. It doesn't even get a laugh, and I didn't say it on either of the other shows. I sometimes look at my computer and will get the feeling of like arousal. Because like you were,
oh my, it's you were your box. No. It's without that no is pun intended, but it's the box that you're box. Going to fuck.
Why wouldn't you? Your fucking stupid brain sees the thing. It doesn't go like spreadsheets. It knows the number one thing you do with it.
Right.
The number one thing.
Pavlov dog. Yeah.
Exactly. Is it my Pavlov hog? It's my Pavlov hog, and I see it. And I'm not saying I get an erection. You can just feel the launch sequence beginning, and you're like, I gotta stop this shit.
Do you ever like try to type in like you legitimately want to go to another website, but your muscle memory is such that you just type in Pornhub.com. You're like, I was trying to go to Pepsi.com to see the new the Janelle Monáe commercial, whatever. And that's what that is.
I wonder if Jamba Juice has a new flavor coming out next month. Oh wait, one black nipple out. .com. Wait a minute.
With a cigar.
Yeah, with a cigar.
You know you're in trouble like when Chrome or whatever browser you're using starts. Suggesting it. Like, I don't need you to remember.
Right.
Does no one at Google, the people that can pinpoint, like, where your mailman is on Jupiter, you know what I mean? Like, you can zoom in on any fucking thing. And no one over there is like, you know, these shortcuts at the bottom, we should flag porn sites and not include them.
Right.
The horn dogs that use their computers for porn don't need the shortcut. They can hit the extra keys.
We know our sites. I mean, they know their sites that they go to. They have that very specific.
You know, without being too much a creep about it, I am curious what, like, the kids who are discovering, like, what, like, probably, no joke, at the age of as early as maybe 10 or 11, right? Probably earlier.
Right.
A kid, like, finding porn for the first
time. That's the thing.
And it's, again, like, I don't think you can go too into it without seeming like a creep. But, like, I am curious at that age.
Seeming like a creep?
Wow. Was that a TLC?
Yeah. TLC B-side right there.
Oh, wow. Seeming like a creep. Oh, wow. Left Eye was my favorite.
She was
rest
great.
In peace.
God bless.
Like, no fooling. That's not funny that somebody died, but she was my favorite.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, of course, because like she was kind of like the bad girl, right?
She was the bad girl. Yeah. I like that she had like a football paint.
So you must have liked Tori on Saved by the Bell.
Tori on Saved by the Bell.
Come on.
The one with the leather jacket.
Yeah.
Like,
don't act like you don't
know. You know what's funny?
She was
the
bad girl.
Guess who I liked on Saved by the Bell?
Who's that?
Lisa Turtle. Can I tell you why?
One black nipple. Fever.
One black nipple cigar. I don't have to.
Was it one black nipple out Lark Voorhees with a cigar.com? One black Voorhees? That's a one act play I'm putting up at the Intimon next week.
One black Voorhees. Oh my God. I would go. I'd buy
would you
tickets
go see that?
Without reading a review.
You'd bring a friend.
One black
you wouldn't even refer it to a friend. You'd bring that friend.
I would bring that friend. You can see the referral in the flesh.
Tyler Perry presents One Black Voorhees.
That's great.
And the soundtrack is Semen on My Mind. Wow. Too many callbacks in too little time.
And the show's over.
My head's about
to be there's
done.
A certain part
we'll
where
be
we
right
have to
back.
Be like,
hi, I'm
over.
Danny Glover. If you're having a rough day, put on Semen in My Mind. It's a new track from a new play. One Black Voorhees.
Oh, Danny Glover's in the play.
Yeah, I'm in the play. By the way, in this commercial, you can ask me questions, and I'll go ahead and respond, because that's the way I like it. By the way, I ain't getting too old for this shit. And we're back. Pete Holmes is our guest here.
Danny Glover responded to my question.
In commercial.
Mid pre-recorded commercial.
Pre-recorded.
Saying that it's pre-recorded is why that's so great.
We're getting to that point.
Oh, my God.
It's going to happen, people.
It's going to happen. It's going to be like Minority Report, where they read your eyes and they go hey, Adam, how's your new jeans?
Oh,
it's
going to
be like that.
You really think, yeah?
Oh yeah.
Do you
for
think
sure,
this
for
is
sure.
a great topic? And I do want to get back to
what were we saying?
I was about to ask what young 10-year-old boys think of when they jerk off, but we can shift gears for a minute.
Yeah.
Sure, so we don't end up on a megaflaw.com.
But like, do you spend time thinking about? I have more and more in the last year, and it excites me to think about like I heard Howard Stern talk about that. He read an article that robots were going to be able to start like feeling feelings by 2026.
And robots that, will feel yes. feelings.
And that scares the shit out of me. Because if you've seen iRobot, and I have a lot, possibly stoned, and it's terrifying to think about that. Like, I don't want to exist with robots that actually are like that. Do you?
As you speak into a robot, recording by a robot.
You know what I mean,
being
though.
Being downloaded by a robot.
You're right.
I do know what you mean, but, like, that is us wanting our cake and eating it, too.
I know you're right.
Who is the asshole scientist that's going to push it? Who's going to make Skynet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Miles, but Minority Report stuff, too.
Miles Dyson.
Yeah, yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's
who's going to be. And he's black.
I know.
He's black in the movie. They were telling us that Neil deGrasse Tyson...
They totally foresaw the entire thing. James Cameron is a genius.
He's going to go away from the universe and into robotics and, like, armoring robots. I don't know, man. Here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen, I think.
Yeah.
In the future, that won't be a big deal.
Okay.
Look at already what's happening is the way we're talking about how kids have everything instantly.
Yep. Right.
There's going to be a time, I'm getting this from, I always forget his name, Singularity Guy.
Robbie Williams.
It's Kurtz or something. Kurtzweil.
Yep.
Kurtzweil.
Yep. Okay.
Kurtzweil was talking about how the way that we can't imagine not backing up your phone. Like, if I threw my phone in your pool right now, second pool reference, I must be jealous of your pool. If I threw my phone in your
come
pool
over
right now,
your
I know. I'm going to be here. It's going to be so awkward.
We're going to come back, Pete.
he's gotten one of those floaty chairs.
And that's it. Natural.
I don't like tan lines, guys.
Here's the thing. I hold up my computer and you see me get a half erection.
Wait.
Pavlovian hog!
So wait, say anything style? I'm holding up your computer over my head and Want You Back for Good is playing?
We mix so many 80s and 90s references.
No, hit me, baby, one more time. We'll be right back. Danny Glover, every callback.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover. If you're having an off day, reach for a nice big vault of Danny Glover cream cheese.
You have cream cheese now?
That's right, Pete Holmes. Cream cheese in the supermarket. Also at Target, $2.99 or free with purchase of any toothbrush from Colgate.
Wait, you buy a Colgate toothbrush, we'll give you a 2-pound box.
That's what I said, Pete Holmes. Why are you questioning this commercial?
It seems like you get the toothbrush for free. That's the less expensive item.
Yeah, we should have thought this through. Anyway, Danny Glover cream cheese. It's a new item. Just came out yesterday. It might work. It might not. We got 16 flavors. Pina colada, root beer, strawberry, chocolate.
Do the catchphrase. I'm not.
I'm not putting that on my toast.
Wait, Danny. Danny. Oh, wait, dude. Yeah, that's contradicting the. I think you want to put that on your toast.
Wait, is that a line from Lethal Weapon I'm not aware of? I'm not putting that on my. Like all the later sequels, they tried to get another one going. I'm not going to put that on my toast.
Oh, God. That was in the script.
By the time Lethal Weapon 9 came around, they had no idea what to do. They were just throwing shit against the wall.
Danny Glover holding a piece of toast, holding up the Dikembe Mutombo wag. No.
Oh, my God.
Dude, Mutombo and Glover in the same sentence?
I take all my money to make that movie.
God damn it!
I don't care what it is. Can we remake the new Transformers movie with Dikembe Mutombo and Danny Glover?
I don't know why
Danny Glover riding Dikembe Mutombo instead of Optimus Prime on the fucking Tyrannosaurus.
Well, that's got all sorts of racist undertones.
Joygasm.
I don't know why Dikembe Mutombo wasn't one of those athletes that was like George Mirasan was in My Giant with Billy Crystal.
Right.
Yeah. Where was Mutombo?
Mutombo was even in Space Jam.
There was a screen test where he really got zero out of 100.
You're right. He didn't test well.
He did my show. I interviewed Dikembe Mutombo.
What?
Yeah.
We saw the Shaq interview.
No, you can look it up. It's one of my favorite things we did.
Holy shit.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How was that to interview Dikembe Mutombo?
It was awesome. I talked, and he didn't mind. He's like a family man. And,
yeah,
you know, like,
he's a good dude.
Has a, like a good image, but he didn't mind. I made jokes about his dick wagging, like his finger. I think I straight up asked him. I asked Shaq about it. I asked everybody about their dick. It was just like, what are we working with?
I mean, you're very curious about penises.
I just want to know dicks.
How did you get him on the show? How do you even think to have him as a guest?
Well, my producer was very into sports, and that's how we ended up having like Kyrie Irving. I'm going to forget people. James Harden, Dikembe Mutombo. I really am going to forget some names here.
But yeah, but and like, yeah, like bad. That's so, that's someone who's such a personality. Like, you know, they had him in the Geico commercial and it was hilarious. And
was
then,
he?
Yeah, he was in a Geico commercial. Like, just he was blocking everything. Like, people try to buy Cheerios and he would slap the Cheerios.
That's
and go,
fun.
No.
To Kimbe Mutombo.
That's pretty good. Brad made him sound like Cookie Monster. That sounds.
But he does sound like Cookie Monster. Yeah. I made him laugh and he was like, "What a wonderful world." I think I made him sing Louis Armstrong and he did it.
Oh,
are
my
you kidding
God.
Me? He was up for anything. And like,
God, that's awesome, man.
At no point, like, so, okay, so during the beginning of my show, we were filming episodes and no one knew who I was. You know what I mean? Like
the Pete Holmes show.
The Pete Holmes show, yeah. So you're doing the Pete Holmes show and it's not on the air yet. So that's a weird time. But we never got to the point where, like, if Conan wanted to do a of course, he's been doing it for 20 years. If he goes to the NBA All-Star game, easy to get interviews.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Everybody
it's
wants
Conan,
to talk to Conan.
We
never really got to the point where we were like on the air and people were aware of us. It was almost like we were done taping at the point when people would have been like, well, I'll do it.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. So I like that show. When are you guys coming back?
Yes.
About that.
So like Kyrie did it because he did the pilot and because he was injured. And then we had a good time and people would come back. This is a boring anecdote. The point is that it was never really easy. And when people like Dikembe did it, I was like, somebody is persuasive on our staff.
We had
a great staff.
Now, are you a big sports fan? Like, did you know who these guys are?
No, I knew who Dikembe Mutombo was.
Right.
Is.
Was.
Oh, my.
Hey, rest in peace, left eye and Dikembe Mutombo.
Hey, left eye. It's so good.
I can't do
are
it
Are they
all
in heaven together? Is that this? Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good to see you. C is for cookie.
He said C is for cookie. I'm telling you.
You got him to say like
Dikembe
all these things.
Is living and well, and he has an elevator in his house, great shower.
Of course he does.
I asked him all
great
the tall
shower.
Guys.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I asked him about his shower. Yeah. I want to know
well,
what
I mean,
he's doing.
Well, I mean, you want to know how he washes that wagging penis of his.
Yeah. I
so
want all
obviously.
The details.
It's not a normal life being that tall. And you, I mean,
no.
You're like 6'5".
Don't
five?
I know it.
What are you?
6'5".
What? Rub
it in, Pete. Rub it in.
Maybe that's how it worked. I got it all, and they were like, oh,
we got some leftover.
That was the
leftover height.
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
So
fire
Danny
away.
DeVito did Twins.
Right.
And that has, as I was making that joke, I was like, I hope this is okay.
Now you're fine.
Danny DeVito made a movie where the premise was I'm the leftover.
Yeah.
That Schwarzenegger was the good twin and I'm the like.
I'm the leftover.
The afterbirth or something.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
it's like we dropped the placenta into a back of radioactive waste and then Danny DeVito like crawled out of it.
Hey! But I got the personality!
And
who's got a script for Matilda?
I don't know if they would make that today, would they?
I don't know. Well, I mean, they would if they put Peter Dinklage in it because Dinklage is in everything.
Jesus, man.
I know. He's Dinklage. My king. He's my king.
He has to. Well, he's my king too.
Sure.
He's all of our kings.
I'm just tired of people coming up to me just because I'm a dwarf asking me how the son of a bitch is going to end. I don't fucking know.
I thought you were going to say that they want to know if you know him.
Oh, they yeah. Because
they
do that too.
And a dwarf.
Right.
So you have to be. Is he? Well, he's also a dwarf?
Yeah. I mean, we all hang out at the meetings. we just talk about like those damn elevator buttons are too high. Like that was.
By the way, that's I just had such a great mental image of somebody standing on a chair to yell that out at the meeting.
Well, I mean,
now, what would the other concerns be though?
Well, I mean,
what would the real concerns be?
Elevator buttons was first on the docket last week. Let's see. What did we do a couple weeks ago? Oh yeah, we have to learn how to walk through parking lots and not get run over. That's
that has to be for real, right?
It's happened to me twice.
You've been hit.
Yeah. I've been backed over twice. Hit by a bus once.
Hit by a bus was crazy.
I'm not even laughing. Yeah. I just don't like
it's
it.
Like,
no.
It's like it's,
I don't like it.
Because like, yeah, you see me in front of you. You're like, it's not like this separate thing where the car backs over a dwarf and then gold coins pop out.
Right,
like that,
right.
That's not what happens. I'm a human.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And it's weird because then when
did they
when,
stop? They stopped.
Yeah, they stopped.
Like
and then
got
they got
hit.
Out. And then both of the times they backed over me, like it really wasn't that bad. It just like they kind of knocked me a bit.
Oh God.
And,
still.
But like they come out and not and I mean I'm a comedian and I always have that thing of like
sure.
I have to make a joke. So they walked out and I was like, I was 5'8", assholes.
You did not.
Oh,
say
I
that.
Did. Oh, yeah. I totally did the second time.
He always does that.
The
second
God.
Time.
Oh yeah. We were at the Universal City. He'll do this all the time. We were at Universal City Walk. We used to do our podcast at the John Lovitz thing when it was there. And
is that no longer there?
I think the podcast thing went through so many shifts where it was
the club.
The club is still there.
Yeah, club is there. Come play my club.
I've got beaches up and surfboards to make it seem like it's summertime all the time.
Because what's
Lovitz internally being like?
Because what's funnier than being in Tahiti?
I'll tell you what, Danny Glover, new kites. Summertime kites. I got all sorts of Riggs kites and Joe Pesci kites. Kites from every character in Lethal Weapon 4.
Do the catchphrase. I'm
flying this kite that high tonight. Whoa. I mean, it didn't have to rhyme, Danny.
I ain't flying this kite that high tonight. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I mean, if you established it early in the film,
right?
He says it to his daughter.
Yeah.
And then later they're on the skyscraper and he's killing the bad guy. I ain't playing. Is this black voice offensive?
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. And if it's perfect, it's offensive. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Danny Glover with more of my.
I'm asking the guy that's doing the offensive black voice if mine is okay. He's like, no, it's fine. Hey, motherfucker.
Hey, Pete, that's very expensive. Oh, yes, Amasa. We're going to do this the next time.
God. You brought it back a century.
That's right. Yeah. Listen.
Wow.
That was the heightening.
If you want your music taken back 20 years, come to me. Yep. If you want your racial jokes 300 years, come to me. Yeah. That's my wheelhouse right there,
hey,
Pete.
I do want to talk to you about your show. Cause,
that's okay.
Because I really enjoyed it.
The reason
I
say it's okay are people like, is it okay? Because it was canceled. This is the fun word.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard you were getting that show, I was like, yeah, that makes 1,000% sense. You are one of the most likable. Being funny and being like as funny as you are and likable is, I think, what you. If you're not that, you have no option to be a talk show host.
Right, late night.
Because you have to be. Appealing to wide masses. And I've seen you in so many different venues crush.
Yeah, well, that's nice to say.
And also, I've seen your live podcast, like in Montreal, and how good you are with people talking. And like that to me, like, I knew the monologue stuff would be great with because of your stand-up. But also, and it was so refreshing to see, too, that it wasn't just like a typical monologue.
Right.
Was that like conscious going into it?
That was what we wanted to do, and then it ended up being what we had to do because we were taping so far ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
I kind of alluded to that earlier, but it probably didn't make sense, was that we were done taping and then the show was on for like another 4 months.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean? So in the audience, the only thing that would be fake is it would be like, so it's Valentine's Day, and it's not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, it's hot out.
Right.
It's freezing. Right.
Yeah, it's December. You're just like, well, it's California. Probably be hot out. All right, cool.
Yeah.
It'll work out.
But I appreciate that. I think likability is an interesting thing for all comedians to consider because, and I'm not saying this to be controversial or anything, but there are exceptions.
Sure.
Kimmel isn't like, I think Kimmel's hilarious
and
he's great, but I wouldn't, likable isn't the first word I would use. He's more of a rascal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's changed that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Conan model, and this was a show that was blessed by Conan, it was that like, oh, we can be like, we're so similar. We're both the same height, basically. He's a little bit shorter than I am, but with the hair, literally.
Yeah.
I say that as a joke, but literally with the hair, we're the same height.
Yeah.
We're both from Massachusetts. We're both like awkward, like pale white people that go out and do it. So it made sense that he would. But the thing that he always went to, not the physical similarities, was you're likable, you're likable, you're likable.
Yeah.
And that was the compliment that he always gave the show. Yeah. It was like, he came off likable.
Was he the one that hit you up to even get that going?
It's a crazy story because... because of its simplicity, I always say that I don't like telling it because I don't want to feed the beast of comedians that think that we're always just like one phone call away.
Oh, right.
When everyone at this table knows that we're comics and it means it's like 10, 12. I was in stand-up for 13 years.
13 years to become an overnight success. Exactly.
Yeah. And I was hosting a lot. Like every show, if I ever did like the College Humor Tour, if I did the VH1 tour or something, I was always the one that hosted.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. It was always just like...
Would you ask to do that or they would just have you...
No, it was just like... thing, but then it was like,
he's a likable guy. You put him on first,
and then you're like, I guess that's my thing, and then you cultivate it and you grow it, and then you do all the sketches, and then you start
and your
the
podcast. I'm
exactly.
Sure,
So the show existed. You know what I mean?
Like,
and that's kind of, if there's a darker lesson, rather than just being thrown the keys to a Ferrari. The darker lesson is that these days people need to know that you can do something almost before you're doing it. But the good part is you can do most things before anyone asks you to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. If you want to make videos, if you want to do a podcast, if you want to do stand-up, you can start a show, you can open for people, all the different things.
Right. Yeah.
It's possible. I always say Spielberg in the desert with his mother in the 8mm. He used to make little movies with his mother in them because that's what was available. Now you could make like a movie with better special effects than Jaws.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Your shark will work.
Your shark will work. Exactly. You'll be shot by the Coast Guard because like
exactly.
Homeland Security is way more tense.
Your
now.
Shark will work, by the way, is playing in the theater adjacent to One Black Voorhees.
One Black Voorhees. Anyway, so the show existed, but the likability thing was, I think, paramount. So the story I didn't want to tell was that I just was called in. I had done Conan twice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And both times, I'm going to other comedians, I'll tell you, I was please. It went well. Yeah. I didn't get like a standing ovation.
You're like, okay, that was a positive thing.
You were like, that was good.
Right. Do you assess a lot of your, I mean, when you got off stage, are you thinking like, that was great? Is that one of the first thoughts?
No.
Performance
night,
concern?
When I do a club, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it's a problem that I'll be analyzing it while it's happening.
Of course.
Like I just did Cobbs this weekend, and I did four shows. So you have to work actively against comparing.
Yep.
Your brain wants to compare. Yep. It's one of the main functions.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, the early show was, they laughed so much harder at that joke, or like, this crowd isn't getting this one, or something.
It can start at the beginning. The first crowd applauded more. You know,
when they heard your name
out.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
they
yeah,
were
yeah.
chatting more, you know,
right,
which is
right.
good. You want them to have a pulse. And then, like, this one sounds sleepy, and this one didn't like Chris Thayer opens for me. I was like, they didn't like Chris's this joke.
Oh, they're not so stupid.
So it's so stupid. You just have to go up and be present. That's just a lesson for life.
Yep, sure.
And that's a good performer. That's a good everything.
Yep.
That's a good father. That's a good teacher. That's a good husband or whatever.
Be there, be in the moment.
Be right there. So just be right there. So anyway, I'm having a hard time comparing. When I do a late night show, though, it's all a blur. I've only done it 3 times. I did Fallon when it was on later, and I did Conan twice. And those ones are the closest you get to just reciting your material.
Right. I mean, because you've turned in your material to these people. They've cleared literally every word. You've written it out. So if you start going off script, like you're gonna have a producer waving at you like, fuck.
Like, you can't change doing? I don't want that toast to I don't want that bagel.
It's like,
we will not air that.
Listen, we all know that we are key in the bagel buyer's market, and you don't want to piss them off.
Sponsors, bagel buyers. It's true. Well, one of the things I noticed doing the show, a little deviation here, is that like you can't sing things. Like I noticed that a lot of times I love singing.
Yeah, because the music copyrights.
That's a $25,000 riff.
Right.
So it would always just get edited out.
Okay.
One of my favorite things that we did on the talk show was that I would come out and be like, I really want to sing Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It, but we can't afford it. So I'm going to put it in your mind. I'll be like, this, you know, like this, and just let them sing.
And then we finish.
I move my hand like to the notes.
Right. Yeah.
Missing. You know what I mean? It was one of my favorite riffs because those restrictions are what you're dealing with. So the truth is, when you're doing a late night spot, you can deviate a little bit, but you can't go long. It's bad to go long.
Sure.
Although this is somebody that went long both times I did Conan.
Oh, really?
Normally they would edit that down, and I don't recommend that. That wasn't like a conscious move.
Yeah, of course.
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
we're talking like 30, 45 seconds. But then like, you get off stage and all you think, and I've talked to a lot of my friends that did Conan and other shows like it, you get off and all you think is like, I'm so glad I didn't fuck up my words.
Yeah.
Something, when stand-up did my show, I was like, if you fuck up your words, just start again.
Yeah.
Like, just do it again. But
we're airing this in 4 months.
That's right. But every show at least is airing 6 hours later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know why we all pretend like it's live. One of the reasons I think is because they like to have that energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when stand-ups came on our show, there were two things that I did. One is I gave a big speech to the crowd to be like, give it up for these guys. It's hard for these guys.
Awesome.
You've been getting used to watching me. Mm-hmm. Someone else is going to be standing where I'm standing, where I've been standing. You've watched 3 episode tapings. Someone else, a foreign entity, is going to be here. You're going to want to attack it with your antibodies. Just laugh. They don't have time to win you over. Just laugh. And I'd be like, let's make this the greatest set of their lives. They would get more applause than I would.
That's awesome.
And they would come out.
But that's so great that you do that.
I'm saying that
as a comic.
I'm putting that out there. Yeah. I saw Seth Meyers recently, and I told him, I was like, look, I don't want to give anybody advice ever. Mm-hmm. The one thing I learned from 80 episodes was when a stand-up is on, give a spiel. It makes it so much better.
Yeah.
Because then you're the show that comics want to do.
Yeah.
And he told this to Seth Meyers?
Yeah. Nice. And he was like, that's great. Although he also said they have a band playing in between, so it was a little different.
Yeah,
we didn't. I was just like, lower the music.
Was that a choice to not have a band?
Financial choice.
Yeah.
I mean, also not having a desk. It wasn't. It's interesting how there was an eclipsing of like we needed to save money, and also I didn't want it to be traditional. So it was like, well, we can't afford to tape it every day. Okay, but I want to do non-topical monologues, so those things lined up. You know what I mean? I don't really want a band. We can't afford one. Well, that works.
Yeah. Do you think not, because the fact that you weren't traditional with
I'm looking at my phone because my car didn't start, and I'm just making sure everything's okay.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure. Somebody's looking
Take
at
your
it
time.
Currently.
Yeah, you Ubered over here.
I did Uber over here.
Do you Uber a lot?
I do have a pretty bad Uber habit. You know what I've noticed is that like people on Twitter don't like when you talk about Uber. Like I've tweeted a couple times about Uber, and I'll be like, I like that you can rate your drivers Uber, but can we make a system so I can rate their cologne? I just thought that was so funny.
Great joke.
That's not just for Uber. Like a lot of cab drivers just wear, but they
taxis
have the rating.
And, yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And then I got more than one person being like, that's for rich people. I was like, is it?
No, it's it. I mean, they have like, the Uber X thing. And
that's
like,
what I'm saying. Yeah, maybe they just assume I mean the black cars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because we know Pete Holmes only travels by black car. I believe you travel by helicopter over here.
I think I have. Was that Morgan Freeman?
We know.
Pete Holmes only goes.
I wish I could tell you Pete Holmes only traveled by bicycle.
That the sisters didn't take him in an Uber X that night.
Wow.
Pete Holmes.
All right, real quickly, three Morgan Freemans talking to each other. Right? All sitting around the dinner table, right?
Okay.
We're eating Campbell's chunky beef soup.
You know, I find the Campbell's chunky to be not as chunky as I like.
I agree. I like when they had the NFL commercials and the NFL players are talking with their mothers. Mothers are very special to me.
Me too.
Rest in peace, Reggie White. But on another note, have you guys seen the latest Cosmos? I can't remember what network. I wish I could tell you I remembered what network it was on.
Did we narrate it?
No, I believe that was the Neil deGrasse Tyson who's going to kill us all because he's going to integrate man and machine.
Morgan, that was an A-plus callback.
I just downloaded that new Soundscape CD from Target.
I'm not going to fly that kite that high tonight.
I believe that Danny Glover is one of the most underrated actors of our time.
You know you can interact with him when he's doing a commercial?
I did not know that.
Just speak up. He'll respond.
So basically what you're saying is Danny Glover is God.
He's a likable fella.
I was God in Bruce Almighty.
I was too.
Hey, guys, so was I.
Mind blown.
This has been three Morgan Freemans talking while eating soup.
With a fork. Thank you, Campbell's Chunky.
Did you say with a fork?
With a fork.
Oh yeah, because they had that ad commercial. Yeah,
so chunky.
Coming this fall to IFC, three Morgan Freemans.
You know what? Your references are so good, but the specificity in which you add to bits, oh man, it's like so on point, dude.
I appreciate it.
To add the fork because it's chunky makes that whole commercial better. Mentioning that the commercial that you interjected with Glover was pre-recorded. Necessary.
It's funny how one word can make a... I'm agreeing with you.
Yes.
Not with the compliment, but with the idea that specificity. And sometimes I hate when I'm doing a set, and like I did this, like I said, I was at Cobb's, and I just had one set where I was really, your brain was just like lit up
locked
like
in,
Christmas,
yeah.
And I was locked in and riffing. A lot of new material and just changing one word.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I'm like, as it's killing, you're like, I didn't record the set. I'm not going to remember what
right
that was.
Oh,
you know,
God.
And you try so hard, like, when you're three jokes in, you're still, like, repeating that word
right
in your head, like, don't forget this word, don't forget
Here's
this word.
Here's what I've noticed, though, that's crazy about the stand-up process is, like, and I don't beat myself up about anything. Not recording, not writing. I just don't believe in that shit. I believe in being funny and doing your best and all that sort of stuff. I just don't like when our brothers and sisters... Oh.
I just want to pull it up a little
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
That's nice. Better. Perfect. Beat themselves up. I don't think that. Yeah. I think that's defeatist. So anyway, when I'm doing the set, and then I'm like, I'm not going to remember that line. Here's what happens: 3-4 days later, middle of the night is the cliche. Sometimes that happens, or it's just like in your car, you go like, right, and it just comes back.
Yeah,
or it comes back when you're doing stand-up, and that's why performing a lot is important.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you can be lazier.
Absolutely. Well, and I've totally done that where I think of a joke in the moment.
lose it, and then I'm like, fuck, I'm not going to remember that. Yeah. The next time I do a set,
it's in you. It
just comes right back.
Here's the thing. You're not the song. You're the radio. You know what I mean? And you need to be open to the frequency coming through.
Can you say that as Morgan Freeman?
You're not the song. You're the radio. When you watch the penguin sit on the egg for 4 months, knowing both the egg and herself will be dead, we're reminded of our own futility.
He is great with big words. Futility.
Ah, futility.
He seems to add an extra syllable to like three syllable words, like
futility.
My voice is so good that people want to hear more of it, so I'm going to add
syllables.
I'm going to add syllables.
Syllables
to my words.
Syllables.
Syllables to my words.
I get paid by the syllable.
There was a girl I knew in college who had gonorrhea.
Thanks to the old Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
He should narrate everything. Him and James Earl Jones.
Is James Earl's dead, right?
No, he's still alive.
He's still alive.
He
was just in a
the Sprint commercial.
A man who can't does it. Can't sprint. Hi. That is crazy. There's a lot of people on my list that I can't believe they're not dead. And it's not because it's just like, doesn't it feel right?
It's from the makers of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter comes Pete Holmes' new show, I Can't Believe They're Not Dead, in which Pete Holmes looks at photographs of people who are actually alive who he thought were dead.
I think it'd be great if you had the actual celebrity come out and Pete's just like, oh, wow, I thought you were dead.
That's actually a great idea. Wait, you sit down in a beanbag chair, and you, they basically...
Ape Pagoda comes out.
A good one.
It's almost like the dating game. You have three different, like, doors, and they go, and a thing turns around like the letters on
like
on
the
Wheel
voice?
Of Fortune.
Like the chair turns around.
Yeah, the chair, whatever. It turns around, and they go, and a picture of them, they go, Pete, is this person dead or alive? And you're like, I think dead. And I guess they're all not dead, but you think they're all
dead. No, everyone's in a while. It's just an urn in the chair. It's just like, you're
guess
right.
Who it is? Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're dead.
Oh, you're right.
Hey, I'm dead. And it's just a grieving family. Yeah. I'm glad we brought you joy.
Well, we don't want that family to go home empty-handed. You're going to get 6 Casio keyboards.
Pat Sajak seems like he's dead.
Yes, he does.
Pat Sajak.
Just on the inside.
Oh, he's been gone
shots
for a
fired,
while.
Sajak.
Your move.
I think he's going to come down to the About Last Night podcast for his retort.
By the FAA rules, if he wants to, you have to let him. I don't know.
Let him on a podcast?
Yeah. There is some sort of retort if you're in the FAA.
No shit.
Yeah.
What does that even stand for? I don't know.
The Federal Arms Association. I don't know. You know, and it's got to be audio something.
Federal Arms Association.
Feral audio.
Wait, to where you're like on TV, like if you're a game show host for 25, or just in the...
Oh, no, anybody.
Oh.
If you shit on my dad, if you're like, Jay Holmes sucks, you have to let Jay Holmes at least call in.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't bar
well,
him.
In that case,
fuck you, Mark Wahlberg.
Hey, why'd you say that? Hey, it's me, Mark.
I think we found a transformer.
Call and kick your ass.
That's not very good today.
Were you ever an impressionist?
No. In fact, I think impressions, I'm not even good at them. I just like trying them.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the keys to
of course.
It's like,
you just sell it.
Just sell it and commit. It's like musical comedy can be so upsetting to a lot of comedians, sure. But like, especially when you're watching improv comedy, it can be so brilliant because they have to commit.
Right.
You know they don't know what they're saying and they're like, I'm opening the door. You know what I mean? It's so funny. Similarly, I my whole life I knew I wanted to do impressions. I knew I liked impressions. But, like, that Mark Wahlberg's garbage. I mean, they're all, like, C's and B's.
Yeah.
But, like, it takes a certain internal
So you like
green
impressions
lighting.
Like you like your titties?
Well, I'd be worse.
C's and B's.
I'd be worse.
Are there F titties? Are there F titties?
Maybe.
Playing adjacent
I don't know why they call them F's, because they're getting a passing grade in my drawers. See me.
Wow.
You got an F. See me. See meat.
Oh my God.
Oh boy. Boobies are. You know, is this a relatable premise?
Yeah.
I want to put it to you, gentlemen.
I like how Adam agreed before you said the premise.
I'm on board with whatever
you
want.
Absolutely.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
I just mean as a stand up. I don't know if it's going to work.
Okay.
So I'm dating a girl. I love her so much. And she has nice boobs. She's got
wonderful.
Big boobs. And I was talking to her about.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. See, here's the bit, though.
Congratulations.
I go, I have a couple big boob bits because I've dated a couple girls with big boobs.
Yeah.
One of them was like, when you date a girl, and this girl dressed really, I didn't like the way she dressed. I'm one of those people that's like, can you please cover up just a little
don't
bit?
Don't show everybody.
I just
those are for me.
Those are for me. And honestly, we're at Disneyland. Fucking cover up. I'm not kidding. Like, seriously, would just dress like, I understand maybe it, like things that bother us
now,
remind
I,
us.
I used to work at Disneyland, so I know exactly what you're talking
right?
about.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yes.
Is it distracting for the characters, too? He's trying to sign an autograph.
Right. And he's like,
yeah, dude. So, how much cleavage was she showing at Disneyland?
Way too much.
Okay. Yeah. Because, like, there's always a little bit, like, that's.
But they're always
the
comparing
the
it to girls with small breasts. They're like, this dress is. Yeah, they have small breasts. Yeah. You look like you're mooning me. It's fucking ridiculous.
Chest moons?
You're giving me chest moons.
I think Chest Moons is playing Coachella next year. They're a pretty solid band.
Chest Moons. The thing I said on stage was, I was like, it's like dating a B-list celebrity. It's like dating Pauly Shore. So I'm not putting down Pauly Shore. I'm just saying, you walk around with Pauly Shore.
He'll be on the podcast next week because of those shots fired.
Fat Sajak, Pauly Shore.
We have
and
to
Lark Voorhees.
And Lark Voorhees.
They're all coming on to retort.
The thing that, oh, so it, people want a photo. Yeah. Is how that joke ends. I'm not going to tell the joke. It's not even good. But then the bit that I'm working on now that's cooking in my subconscious now is like, every guy says they like big boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Most guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially like if you look at like porn trends, like what traditional porn star, guys like bigger breasts.
Sure.
No one has a girlfriend with big boobs. It's crazy. Everybody just forfeits their dreams.
Oh my God.
Everybody just gives up. Which of your guy friends has a girlfriend
I'm
with big
to
boobs?
Think right
is
now.
It none of them? It's none of them.
Mine, maybe a couple, but because they had babies.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a waiting game. in time.
Is that a Susan Sarandon movie?
Waiting game?
It's a waiting game.
I will say that's true Dang of Keaton. Ass, too. Is like, I like a nice big ass, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm always kind of like
both.
Yeah, both.
You don't have to
upstairs
pick, by the
and
way.
Downstairs. Yeah,
when people ask me,
you.
Do you like, are you a boob or an ass man? I was like, are you trying to set me up with a torso? Like, why do I have to pick? I like them both. I want them both.
Well, the ass is just downstairs boobs. That's all it is. It's just two things.
Downstairs boobs.
Is also playing Coachella.
Yeah. And I like those big as well. But
it's
that's
a Stephen
that's
King
also
horror movie. Downstairs boobs.
That's a waiting game as well because you know. Not every woman, but most women are probably going to get bigger in the ass as they go.
Yeah.
And I'm here, if you're a lady listening to this right now, hallelujah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
You Good know what job. I mean?
Of course.
I'm glad that we live in this time. In the 80s, it wasn't this way.
Nope.
There was like, double XL did not exist
in
the magazine.
No. Big and tall stores for women were not around. I don't know if they still are. But.
You just had to leave the country.
If you got a big ass.
Yeah. Well, you got a big ass.
Guess I got to go to Romania.
You got
to
go to the Dominican Republic.
They had like one of those.
On the plane,
they had like
huge seats. It's all first class.
Oh, God. And they play Chest heavyweights moons. On the plane.
They play heavyweights on the plane. Yeah. Well done, sir.
I gotta write down Chessman because I'm looking for new material.
There you go.
You're always writing new material.
That's your line, by the way. You know, if I do that. I'm assuming you don't mind if I say chest moves.
No, are you kidding me? Please. Yeah. Anything that happens on this podcast.
Big
is
boobs.
For a game.
So what was it? It was like cover up.
Just if you say it on your podcast, give me credit.
Compare.
or say that you were discussing it with topic with us because I'm a big fan of your podcast and
it is.
Getting
it's
a shout out.
It's a great,
oh, sure.
It's
great
my
podcast.
Ear.
Oh, thank you.
Do you know you're the first podcast I got into?
Really?
Yeah. And listened to not like that's why the first time I met you at an Allison Jones audition, I was like, oh my God. Because I'd seen you around at shows, but like not in the proximity to where like a conversation was possible.
Was this in New York?
No, this was out here. Oh. Allison Jones.
Yeah.
And then when we. We're in the terminal going to Montreal together and this is again an attribute to you, Pete Holmes.
Yeah.
We never like had a it was a very brief conversation, but then in the terminal you just like so easily like engaged with me for about 15 minutes before you went on your first class trip, piece of shit. And
I'm flying middle seats both ways Montreal this year.
No.
Middle seats both ways.
No.
Why are you doing that to yourself?
Because I've heard you on your podcast say how like, and guess what? This is like how you're like, we deserve with all the shit we go through with traveling, like, we deserve to like have the plane part or the traveling part be
yeah, I know.
Easy
I
and take care
agree.
Of myself.
No, I do.
I started doing that more because of that because I was like,
yeah.
you know, and obviously, you know, sometimes you're just like, I can't afford to do that. But
of course.
Like, if I can,
I'm talking about miles and being loyal to a certain airline.
Yes.
Like I fly Virgin a lot.
Me
and
too.
I have a good plan.
Yep.
And then you're looking at like $100-$150 tops to like upgrade to first class.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like that is worth it. When you're flying from 6 hours, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's worth it. But it's happening because I didn't book the travel because I don't mean to throw my manager under the bus, but they were supposed to book it and they waited too
long.
Waited. And then it's all middles. It's all middles.
Fantastic.
I got to hope that clerk is a fan of late night canceled deep cable.
Deep Pete Holmes?
Never going to happen.
Didn't you interview Dikembe Mutombo?
I have a better chance pretending to be Craig Ferguson. Craig Kilborn would be better. I look more like Craig Kilborn.
There you go. Make that
your podcast, though, was the first I got into. And because I love that you don't just talk comedy and like how you can get really like deep with some people. And Sinbad, who you just had on.
Yeah.
Who,
how weird, right?
Unbelievable.
In the good way.
Unbelievable, because Sinbad's the first stand-up I ever saw. My dad is the biggest Sinbad fan.
Yeah.
I sent him the link immediately. He was like, this is incredible. I got to open for Sinbad at the Ontario Improv twice and brought my dad out to like see him.
Wow.
And it was like the greatest thing ever. By the way, he murdered that night.
Like,
did
he's a
2 murderer. Hours of stand-up and then did another like 30 or 40 of like crowd work.
It makes me upset that some people hear the name Sinbad. They go, well, that's that old whatever comic. You're like,
I get so defensive when people go,
it's
make
just
a
his
joke.
Name. It's just his name.
It is.
It's the name of the pants.
What's it? Yeah, it's the pants.
It's the name of the pants.
A lot of his style didn't help, you know what I mean? But I remember I saw Afros and Bell Bottoms on comedy. I think I told him that.
Yeah, you did.
I saw it on Comedy Central and then I bought it on eBay.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Because I was obsessed with it. And I don't remember where I read that he didn't write his material down, but I couldn't get that. And it shaped my career. Toast. Danny Glover
toast. Toasters.
You have a toast. You have a toast coaster. A toaster.
Yes, toaster.
I'm not putting that on my toast. That is so funny. But Sinbad is great. He was really weird. And I mean that in the good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want the weirdness. So the show's called You Made It Weird, and I want people to open up about their weirdness. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I didn't expect it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, Sinbad, he's a bit of a legend.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know
I think that's
I mean?
Part of the reason he's been around so long and sustained a career that I think that's why if you stay around that long, people inevitably are going to start to, like, jab because almost out of like jealousy, be like, oh, you're still doing well,
right?
Fuck,
right? No, it's true.
Right? Mm-hmm.
A lot of haters. He told some really amazing stories, and then at the end, got weird about leaving his body and stuff. It was incredible.
That was out of nowhere.
I don't know. I threw it.
Out of body experience.
It's called astral projection. Is leaving your body voluntarily. It's this thing that a lot of monks do it, and like Buddhist monks and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a thing. I talked to Deepak Chopra is doing the show too. He does well. So that's not a surprise. Between Sinbad and Deepak Chopra, who do you think is meditating and leaving their body?
Right.
The answer is C. Both. Fucking insane.
Yeah.
So like, I think towards the weird part, we end every podcast by talking about God, and we're like, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Another way to put it would be like, what are we doing here? What is the meaning of life?
Sure.
So I say to him, and he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you know, like, are you in anything weird? Meditation, blah, 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 astral projection. And he's like, oh, I can do that. I was like, excuse me?
What? Oh, so you brought it up as an example,
of something.
No one would ever say this.
But I've always wanted to have someone on the show that's done it. And now I've had two people, Deepak and back-to-back episodes, actually.
Wow.
Deepak's coming out Wednesday.
Now, that's the sound of all our listeners Googling astral projection now.
No, it's worth looking into. I highly recommend, it's a great book written in the 50s. So he says, like, I'm not trying to be offensive, like he calls black people Negroes and stuff. Like, it's the fucking 50s.
Yeah, it's written in the 50s, so.
It's not in the degrading way. He's just Negro gentleman.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was watching the CNN thing, the 60s, the other day, and they were like doing on the civil rights movement,
right?
And they would show the newscasters, And I was watching in the green room of Comedy Works in Denver, my opener black, and I'm just sitting there watching it, and I kept like staring at him, like, dude, I'm so fucking sorry. I'm sorry, so man. It was rough.
Yeah. No, it's an embarrassment.
It really is.
I mean, what we need to be careful is, what are we going to be embarrassed about next? Because I didn't know the term tranny wasn't okay. I found that out.
I just got an email about that. I did my only...
By the way, sorry for even saying it. That was just the example.
Read you the email that I got, actually. I did Craig Ferguson about 2 months ago. It's my first late night set. And I had to change tranny to transvestite.
Oh,
but I could still say it on the air, right? So I do the joke, and then here's the email I got.
"What? It's your wallpaper." I'm like, "Let it go, man."
He just has the hate mail. Has it posted in his room?
I just searched Ferguson in my email to find it, and that didn't come up. Now I just searched tranny, and I think I found it in my email.
Okay,
keep talking.
But my point is, we need to keep an eye out for the thing. Yeah. What is making us mad men?
You don't want to be like these guys were when I'm watching Scene in the 60s. You don't want to be the person caught on tape,
right?
On a newsreel,
yep.
50 years in the future,
yep.
Go like being that guy going, "Oh my God."
And the problem is it's almost inevitable. There's some things that we're doing. Certainly, I think with women, I think is going to be a thing.
Sure.
Just the way that we were, like, I've been called out on the word bitch before. And the funny thing is I agree. Like, I'm like, yeah, but I don't have hate in my heart. Like, I'm almost
It's coming from a genuine, like, you're not coming from a place, like, right. You genuinely think they're bitches. No, I'm kidding.
Yikes.
But I mean, like, you could police a lot of things, and with good reason. That word, the T word, is something that I've stopped saying. But it was because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I literally thought it was just shorter to say for transvestite.
So are you sensitive to things like that? Like, you will if you hear that it's like
a little bit, especially a group like that that is, you know, having a hard time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
not like you have the rich white guy on the hill going, "We like being called Caucasian."
That's
like,
right.
Shut up.
That's right. That's what it's not the plight of the cracker. You know what I mean? We're talking about a group that
which, by the way, is a new play sponsored by the Ritz Company.
Right.
The plight of the cracker.
For my transgendered friends and out there, if you're looking at the gay community and envying the rights that they have, I mean, like, and in a world that's still, I just watched a documentary where the guy said to his son, the son made a joke where he was like, "I'm gay." And he was like, "I'm just kidding, Dad. It's something else." Like, one of those jokes.
Uh-huh.
He was like, "I would punch you right in the face." Like,
really?
And in 2014.
What
so
the
I was like,
fuck?
So if you're a group looking at the homosexual group saying, like, "I wish I had what they had," when they still need so much more.
Yeah, no kidding.
You got to be rooting for that first group even harder.
No
so
shit.
I'm worried about that. You got the email?
I can't find it.
Sorry. All right. But somebody was mad that you just said.
Yeah, it was a very just deliberate and just like, I saw your performance tonight and like, you just shouldn't be saying that. And like, you're a comedian. I get that you have free reign to say what you feel, but there's other stuff you can joke about and don't. It wasn't even like trying to be like, "Hey, maybe think about what you're saying." It was just like, "Don't say that anymore. You can't say that. You shouldn't be saying that." So I didn't respond too well to that. I didn't respond at all.
Well, because it's hard as a comic, because one of the reasons why we're in this business is because, and I'm maybe speaking for you guys, but it's the freedom that we don't have a producer, writer. It's just us
and
the microphone.
Going from the TV show to back to stand-up, it wasn't so much that I could say, like, scandalous things. You know, it doesn't even sound like, I don't know what you said, but I don't think you were trying to.
It was just about a joke about, you know, seeing how sometimes it's tricky to meet a really women out here, because sometimes you'd be driving in your car, you look out the window, you see a really hot girl, you're like, "Oh man, she's hot." Then upon further inspection, you realize, "Oh man, she's a man." And then going through this emotional roller coaster of not recognizing that it was a man, and going from like, "Oh yeah," to "Oh god," to, "Well, you know, maybe," you know, like, because it was like, I couldn't totally tell. And that was genuine. By the way, that was a real thing that happened.
Yeah.
So I know it's a joke, but like, I literally did see in my first 2 weeks of living here, seeing like a trans that was walking down near the donut shop. They're always hanging outside transgender, outside of donut shops.
Wait, we can't say transvestite?
I don't know. I couldn't say transvestite. No, I had to say transvestite on the show. That's what I could
thought
say.
Transvestite and transgender
tranny
was the same. I know tranny's out.
Someone write us an email. Can the official spokesperson?
I mean, someone did. Someone wrote a Tumblr post where they were like, "I hate people." And the vitriol in it, you know, it's not just about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that email isn't just about you.
No. Yeah.
It's never just about you.
Nope.
Everybody's the star of their own movie, and I'm not saying everybody's self-obsessed. I'm just saying this person's going through this thing, and then you have a place to pour it. It is tricky. I mean, people have had this conversation on podcasts many times. I've had it on my show when Kumail and I think we told a rape joke, and my rape joke was something about, like, I like the idea that there's a gray area rape, meaning you're not sure if it was rape, and we call it a grape. Now, that's it's a terrible joke. Here's the thing, though.
But it's so goofy, though.
I thought it was goofy. And you have to understand, I didn't just do it as material. It kind of came up through riffing with Kumail.
You also enjoy and are good at wordplay. And I think
that's right.
It
was more of just like crunching the words.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, every comedian knows this, that when you do bring up something that's a little bit, you know, faux pas or whatever, you couldn't say at work, you know what I mean?
Obviously,
it's a little bit electric and can be a little bit fun, can be a little bit something that we like doing. But then I got an email from somebody that had been raped, And it was like one of the hardest things I've ever read in my life.
Yeah.
And Kumail, we both got it, and we were just like, what do we do? Whenever somebody says a rape joke now, in my circle, like my close friends, they get off stage, and like, let's say it was me. It wouldn't be me. Like, I don't really do that. But like, say it's me. I did it. I got off stage.
Show Kumail, me email.
Kumail. No, oh, not the email. Okay. That would be really hardcore. But yeah. This is the quick way to do it is you go one out of three. You say one out of three.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
And that, I mean.
Or do it in Ed McMahon voice and go, 2¼ stars.
But one out of three meaning one out of three women has been raped.
Oh, yeah. God. I thought you were rating the rape
joke. No. That, I believe that's the statistic.
No, that's.
I'm not sure.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's, well, okay, so something like that, like, in my case, would you like then just take that joke out of your act?
You know what's weird is I don't, it's not up to me. I mean, here's the thing. We can't go through life. T.J. Miller said on my podcast once, he's like, if nobody hates it, it's not interesting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's something to be said for speaking your truth, especially because your joke is true and because it's about your experience being like... And you know what makes that joke work for me is the vulnerability of the... Because, you know, you're like a good-looking, muscly guy.
Thanks, man.
And then,
a lot of push-ups. I'm glad somebody at this table noticed.
But you could...
Hey, I'm sorry. I got you the shake weight. You didn't touch it. I didn't know what you... But, you know...
That's because he's been busy with the Danny Glover pull-up bar. Buy two now, get a free Danny Glover yo-yo. It's yo
Fantastic. That's the only way to go with that. All right. Back to Pete.
I just think you looking like someone who could be like a bully, you know, cast as a bully.
Sure. Yeah.
Being like
susceptible to
like, maybe.
Yes.
That's what makes it
and that's what makes it
three dimensional to me.
And one of my buddies once
like Joe DeRosa has a whole bit about fucking wanting to have sex with a transgendered. Meaning it was born a man and is now a woman, but still has some of the parts, and he's like, I would totally do it. And it's really funny.
Yeah.
And Joe's another one of those guys that should be like out there being like, I don't like all these people out there that are different from me. And when to see him do it
spot on Joe DeRosa, by the way.
That here's my DeRosa for real. He goes,
okay.
It was fine. That's DeRosa. Joe, how was the new Transformers? It was fine.
You know what's
him for everything.
This is crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
I've had one interaction with him, and it was in New York when I was leaving a comedy club, and he was going to it. It was a little, actually, comedy room. Somewhere.
Did you say, really, how was it tonight?
It was really hot, and he asked, I did. I said, how was wherever he was coming from? And I swear to God to you, he went, okay. It was some sort of variation.
Promise you, he said it was fine.
That's amazing.
He had to stop saying it because... Once you focus in on an impression, everyone in the office then, would do it.
Yeah.
And if he would say,
he wrote on the
fine,
show.
He wrote on the show. Joe was great.
How great was that to be able to pick? Because
tremendous.
All your friends worked on it.
We had a lot of my friends on it. It was a staff of like six or so, like six proper writers.
Is that about how it is in a writer's room? I mean,
I think Conan has like 30, but they're doing a different show.
Yeah.
They're doing nightly topical.
I mean,
yeah, you hear the stories about faxes coming in all day of people that aren't even in the room, just writing monologue jokes.
Yeah, that's a different thing. So I really needed people that could write stand up. So Jamie Lee and Joe DeRosa were my go tos because I've known them for
and they know your voice
like a decade, and they can write for my.
That's
like,
a new thing too, by the way. Having people writing for has it happened for you before?
No,
it's and always been the Pete Holmes show.
It was great. It was honestly great. It's actually really tricky to go back to if it's going to get done, you have to do it. Sort of mentality.
So now going back to stand up, you're like, oh, I gotta do that. I mean, you probably seamlessly go back into it.
You do, but here's you know what I miss: cue cards.
Oh shit!
I do miss the cue cards. If you want to do a new bit and just having it outlined in front of you, in the audience, so it doesn't look like you're looking at your notes.
You did a good job, by the way.
You'll get used to that.
The not staring right down the pipe.
Oh, thank you. I was proud of myself for that.
You should be. That is not an easy skill set. And what? If you are just found in his first few, he's gotten better at it. But like the first few, he was just like so looking down the barrel, and it was like it's noticeable.
That I mean, the name of the game for me and the thing that I'm proudest of was that our first episode and our 50th episode, like, it was a similar level of comfort. And that was something that, again, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but, like, I think you need to allow yourself to love things. If you're like, I did good at that. I was, nobody tells you, don't look down the barrel. Nobody tells you, it's okay to move around the space.
Yeah, they assume that you got the show, you should kind of know
just,
what's up.
And where did you come from? You were just doing stand-up. Oh, you know what I mean? And then you just popped onto a TV show.
Well, because
you think there's a meeting where they're going to be like, here's what you're doing with your
hands. Because it's a skill set. I mean, it's not like there's a book like how to host a talk show because there's...
Well, there is, and it's on my website, DannyGlover.com.
Danny Glover, late night TV.
By the way, if you are buying Danny Glover's talk show book, make sure you go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com and click through the Amazon banner so we can get a portion of that.
Shameless.
Sorry, shameless plug.
I want money.
Did you enjoy having all that creative freedom, though?
Yeah, it was great. You know what's funny? I'm glad you asked that.
Because your bits and like the way you would interview, like when you interviewed Chris D'Elia and the Crab Feast guys, and then, like, and then all the Street Fighter stuff.
Yeah,
like interviewing all the business. Funny. By the way, it's on Pete Holmes.
You know what I'm going to change? Twitter, PeteHolmes.com.
But to see all the Street Fighter, it's you as a
HR guy.
These guys to be and you're all the Street Fighter characters, and it's incredible. Especially if you love, even if you don't love Street Fighter, you know of it.
Yeah,
and so go to see these characters as real people.
Joel McHale is Guile.
Yeah.
Loved
he was great.
By the way, you fucking as that guy, I don't know how much acting you want to do in like movies and stuff, but I like got very interested in seeing a like dark comedy like as you as that guy.
Guile. Yeah,
there was very something that was very like a lot was going on with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like I wanted to see you go home from work and like you're I swear to God.
You want the backstory. Like the same way
that makes me happy. Thank you.
Louis C.K. was in Woody Allen's movie Blue Jasmine, and he played kind of like a shady version of that guy,
right?
Like we wanted to see more. And
oh, that's so nice.
You could play that part, Pete Hall.
Yeah, no,
you're good. You're very subtle, and you're also I don't know how much acting you've done, but like a lot of there's a lot going on without doing a lot. You know,
I really appreciate that. Sincerely, I'm going to keep that compliment for a rainy day. Seriously, I don't know how to say like I love that compliment.
Well, you should definitely do that movie.
The thing that I thought was funny was that people occasionally will email me and be like, you got the network down your throat, and that's why I got canceled, because they wouldn't let you do what you wanted. And I was like, I can't be like, no, they let us do what we wanted. Mm-hmm. You just didn't like the show. like because we got to do... That only happened twice, and it was always other comedians just assuming. TBS let us do whatever, which was
that's
crazy.
That's great. You went out doing like...
Yeah. That's what it is.
That's got to be a great... And you can't forget that after the whole process.
This is what I want to change. I realize that if you go to like the Pete Holmes Facebook page, it still says Pete Holmes Show on Midnight After Conan. And I want to change that chyron to on the internet, period, forever. Isn't that
great?
There
you go.
On the internet,
it is.
Forever.
Yes, dude. you have something. The same way that kids can go back and rediscover shows that we grew up with or that we can do, like we can go back and watch like the Dobie Gillis show or something like that.
I'm currently watching Three's Company.
Drink really? 5.
I love it.
Yeah, Drink 5. That's the first damn Dobie Gillis reference.
Ritter's show, didn't you?
No.
Wait, what's this? My Teenage Daughter? Wasn't that Ritter's show?
No, 8 Rules Dating.
Oh, 8
was
Rules.
His.
Okay.
8 Simple Rules.
Jeez, way to bring it down.
Sorry,
Adam,
man.
No.
I saw you Ritter, and I thought that was Ritter.
John Ritter, rest in peace with the left eye.
do you have a few more minutes, or do you need to get out?
I'm just writing down.
Okay, cool.
That idea.
Front butts.
I already wrote down chest moons.
The movie.
Not the movie, I'm sorry.
Well, if I write it, you're going to be in it. And I'm 90% serious.
The thing is you got to write a character that you know you can play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
If you watch, it would be hard to find now because those exist. I did a cartoon called...
Ugly Americans?
No, I mean I made it. It was called Street Fighter Bureaucracy Vega. Okay,
you really like Street Fighter.
I know, but that's what we made the series based on. A lot of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Wolverine Gets Fired was a sketch I wrote 10 years ago.
Oh my God, it's also my life. I played Wolverine at Universal Studios.
Oh,
Hollywood,
that's right. I forgot
and I got
about that.
Fired.
And he got fired.
What for? Yeah. What?
He stabbed a kid.
I stabbed a kid with a fake. I was pitching my Danny Glover cream cheese too much in the park as Wolverine. No, yeah. I got you. It's a point system. So like the more like you get sick calls or you like I saw Bobby Lee started taking me on the road.
Wolverine doesn't get sick.
Hit it.
Not only did I make a joke you probably have heard before, I made you high five me.
Perfect.
Thank you for doing it.
Well, I started getting, Bobby started taking me on the road with him, and I was like having to call in and miss weekends of work. And they were like, do you want to be here? Because you're missing a lot and your points are going to. I was like, I do want to be here. I don't want to be here all the time because I'm trying to do that. And this is supplementing that. And they're like, this doesn't seem like you would really want to be Wolverine. I was like, well, not for the rest of my life. I mean, let's go ahead and look at Brian over here. He's been Captain America for 16 years.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There's a guy.
And he's standing there with his shield. No shield can protect me from this hurt.
Okay, Brian, you drive a Jetta. Moving on to Steve, who shows up to work when he's not working in a Spider-Man shirt. Steve, we know you're Spider-Man. When I asked you if you went to go to the movies last week and you said, depends on when the Avenger meeting ends, I turned away so quick and walked in the other direction.
Oh, my shit.
They would come become the characters.
The behind-the-scenes stuff of the people who work there is incredible.
I want that documentary.
I'm trying to make it an animated show.
Oh, wow. Even better.
Yeah, but the documentary would be much more appealing.
Or dark. Or sad.
It will be dark and sad.
Yeah, okay, good.
Okay, so the cartoon, though. Wolverine's fired.
Oh, Wolverine. The point was, like, so much of the stuff that... The job is the job. Like, people were like, we're sorry you lost your job. And I'm like, I didn't lose my job. I'm a comedian. It's what we do. We're absorbing and creating constantly.
Yeah.
And going back to the freedom of it, it's like, that's just what I do. It's all, you're always not working, but also you're always working, depending on how you look at it.
You forget how much stand-up, like, that's just... I mean, the fact that you were able to jump right back into it and probably fill up your calendar.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
That's an amazing thing.
Probably, how many more people are going to want to come out from the show, hear you talk about that?
Yeah. Cobb's sold way better than it did the other times.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
And there's you're a different... I don't know, a completely different comic, but like, you just went through that whole experience where I don't know how much stand-up you were doing during the taping.
I tried to do it a couple times a week, but like it was hard.
Yeah, because you're consumed.
Towards the end, I just stopped because we ramped up to 9 episodes a week.
Oh, my God.
So I just stopped. I was like, nope. Nighttime is cheers and one glass of wine.
Yeah. Right. You're creating so much content during the day that at night you're just like, you just shut your brain off for a second.
Milked.
Like,
what's Kirstie Alley getting into tonight as far as punchlines? But like, because also you don't want to have to be, you're being funny all day.
Right.
Being funny then at night, like, right? Is that a part of it?
That's absolutely it.
Yeah.
And then honestly, it was because it was so social, I just wanted to do something that was a little bit more isolated.
Yeah.
And that's where you do get like your Johnny Carsons and stuff and like being real weirdos and not, I love Johnny Carson, but let's face it, he was a little bit weird.
Yeah. I think there was something on TV Guide channel or something on him recently.
Yeah.
Like the biography, like you saw. Yeah, he was a little bit weird, but when you're stuck in an office all day trying to think and you're never done.
And you're the thing that everything kind of has to go through.
Right.
So I liked it. Because it was kind of like college and like living in a dorm, like everybody's there and it's just very...
Yeah, friends hanging out.
Friends hanging out and it was very fun. And then you do the show and the audience comes to you. I mean, that really is the dream. You're like, oh, the audience gets shipped in and they're the ones that waited 4 hours. You didn't have to drive 4 hours to get to the show, you know what I mean? So it was really, really great, but I don't know where I was going with that.
How many of your...
But at night I just wanted to... I wanted to go to bed. I went to bed at like 9:30.
That's incredible. Had you ever done that?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that.
When I was 7, I did 3 sets that day, you know what I mean, of new material, and then the interviews, and then we got to watch the sketches and interacted with the crowd. I did my own warm-up a little bit, you know what I mean, would have a great warm-up, but then I would come out and do more warm-up. So I got that itch scratched. We all just want, we just want to create.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
now,
what we want to do.
Is it strange coming from the stand-up world and then, like, let's say when you do a monologue, like when you're a comic, you can go up every night and, ooh, that line didn't work, but I could tweak it and I could make it better and I could do it the next night or of a late show. When you do it in the late night talk show game, you did it. It's done.
Yeah.
You got to throw it all away and start over again. Was that weird?
It made it a little bit more addictive, actually. Stand-up, by comparison, started to seem like a milder drug. Not anymore. Now I'm back in it and like you realize...
You're hardlining stand-up now is what you're
now
saying?
Now I'm hardlining stand-up and it really is in my blood and it's really doing it for me. I love it so much. But when you're doing it on the show and if something doesn't work, it really had a high wire feel. You'd be out there. It's filmed. You know what I mean? At the same time, you're exposed and you're also very protected. You can edit it. I mean, like I could be like, edit that out or keep that in.
Sure.
Most of the time, if there was an error, I was the one that was like, you have to keep that in. Because those were my favorite moments.
They always say that about, to bring it back to Johnny Carson, they always say that about
him. That's all you remember.
Is that he made bad jokes great.
He was
just
on the show for 40 years.
Yeah. He would give one look like to the audience or one little pause or
something. But that's the thing. It's nobody's going to remember your material, really. I mean, like, mm-hmm. you might, even when people are like, Carlin, seven words, you can't, do you, can you say this? What are the words?
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Cock, sucks, motherfucker, tits.
Is it your ringtone?
Yes.
It's Brad saying it, too.
Yeah, it's me.
But the thing is,
yeah,
like,
you're right, you're
people
right, you're
remember,
right.
It goes back to that likability thing. It's like, what, for lack of a better term, what color are you? Like, if you're a painting, like, what colors are we using? Are you red? Mm-hmm. Are you yellow, blue? Is it green? What is the overall feel and impression that you're leaving? Carson was that feeling. That's what made him a host. It didn't matter what the joke was.
Right.
So we were really trying to make it be like, I say it to audiences when I do stand-up, and I would say it when we were doing the tapings, is I'd go, I'm not here to live and die by the material. That's a sucker's game. I would say that to them. If they didn't laugh, I was like, fuck that shit. We're not going to have a bad time. Why? Because our jokes are no good?
Yeah.
Who cares? Life is ending while it's happening.
Wow.
It's very philosophical.
Yeah.
My warm-up was really new agey and
so like
and
so
creepy.
like were people like
no,
crying
me, the stuff I would say.
Yeah.
I would tell them to be present. I still say this to audiences. Yeah. I go, you've never done anything in your life. You've never been to a comedy show before in your life. Everything is a memory. All that exists is right now. And it helps. It literally helps.
It helps them focus on just that.
If they're listening or if they understand, you know what I mean? But like a present audience is a good audience.
Yep. Absolutely.
A bad audience is comparing you to another comic. Oh, I had some people, you know, obviously not really enjoy a show I did recently, and I was like, yeah, you're comparing me to other things, but if you're only seeing what's happening,
you're going to have a great time.
You're going to have a great time.
And you're going to open your mind up to shit that didn't, like, you're going to hear somebody talk about things that you've probably thought about, and now they're, like, doing the homework for you as far as being like, well, here's a perspective you could have on it. You're like,
right.
It's actually a perspective I do have. I just, because of outside influences and who I'm dating and whatever, I don't actually access those influences.
And the fact that you're thinking that you could be watching Orange is the New Black in your pajamas, we're competing with so many things.
Right.
But if you can remind people...
Stand-up could be helping on so many different levels if people really, like, I mean, not to really like get crazy about it, but like what you're saying about being present with it and really like allowing yourself to just take in everything what someone's saying.
Yeah.
And almost like in an acting class where it's like, you can get taught certain things, pick and choose what you want to apply for your own path, but at least like take it all in.
And it's good acting is presence. Yeah. You know, is reacting is what they say. But I think another way to say that is just being present. But that's what I think there is something kind of, for lack of a better term, spiritual happening in a stand-up show. It's not the performer assuming control over the audience. It's the audience and the performer merging into one thing that we call
absolutely
a show.
Yes.
And that's what makes a heckler so offensive. It's somebody's ego saying, no, I'm Phil. No, you're not Phil. We're the show. Shut the fuck up, Phil. You're in the way. You're disrupting a prayer, basically.
By the
right
way,
now.
Phil Donahue,
it's a prayer about
we still want you on this show. Shots have been fired.
But... It's a prayer about, I love my boners.
Yeah.
But like,
exactly.
It doesn't have to be like deep shit. It's a beautiful thing. Why do people go to live stand-up when you could watch it on TV?
Yeah.
What a brilliant analogy of a heckler. Because it truly is. Because you're having this moment with the audience. They're having the moment with you. You're giving. You're taking. Yep. All that's happening. Then one guy
goes,
he just puts his finger in the bubble and
not
pops
me.
It. Yeah.
Pops the bubble.
But it is a little bit invasive. Like, you have to let go of your ego. Like, I look at audiences with a lot of affection because they're allowing themselves to melt into something, into one thing that we call an audience.
Yeah.
And a good performer should not assert his ego, and he should allow him to merge with that audience.
Sure.
Some performers aren't good at that, and they just recite their material, and they're not present. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when it is that perfect soup, you can get some really good stuff out of that.
What
I've been Sinbad.
I have so much respect that you even did a show, because like, I don't know how involved you are on every level of the creative process, but the fact that you had to go from... it's a different side of your brain to do the monologue and then do the interview.
Yeah.
And then
sketches,
setting up everything, and then you said three a day sometimes.
Yeah, it was three a day.
And then so to get re-energized, as if you're doing like, you know, three shows in a night at a comedy club for that new show. To be like, I'm doing a whole new show with new material,
and these people didn't see what happened. Before, like they're blank
same
slates.
Audience, same audience.
Oh, some audience.
And then to oversee everything, like you were saying, I mean, I'm sure you...
Which meant if they were bad, you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, wow. Two more shows with these guys.
Very,
all right.
Very rarely. They were almost always
you
great.
Seem like you care so much that you would be involved in, like, you would want to see the final take of every...
I did, to a certain point.
But then now you just also want to trust, right, and kind of just go...
I did, yeah.
Let the
show... The longer you did, the better we got. The hardest thing was to really trust the writers. I actually, I've met with most of them, and I was like, look... I know we all had fun. It wasn't like we had to patch things over, but I was like, I just want you to know that I didn't do the best at letting you guys just write for me. Everything would be something that I would take and then rewrite. I've been told that that's what a lot of these guys are like, the people that we look up
to. It is the Pete Holmes show.
I know.
The writers of Pete Holmes show.
I know. Well, you have a good excuse.
Right.
But that doesn't make the most fulfilling experience for the writer if everything you write gets rewritten.
Yeah. Sure.
So I tried to be conscious of that. The things that the editors, Oren Brimmer, who edits, helped edit. I mean, we had three amazing editors. And then Oren Brimmer would like oversee that sort of process. He directs all the sketches we did. He would co-write them with me and the rest of everybody. So I was able to see some of the sketches for the first time on the floor, which was really fun because I would laugh at them. Like, I tried to keep myself apart from that. And I tried to keep myself apart from a pre-interview or anything because, like, you need that authenticity.
The organic. Hey, it's why we have you just sit down and start talking.
That's exactly right. I don't understand why we're not capturing. When a stand-up walks out on stage, you capture him walking out into the first things he says. You know what I mean? Because we understand that that's the beginning of the experience.
Exactly.
When you do podcasts or TV, there's so much, like, the pre-hello, and now we're going to talk, and I try and to keep that to a minimum.
Yeah, then in commercials, we're going to have another conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's too much. Like, let's keep it organic.
It's really interesting that you say that. I think what we're dealing with in 2014 is less of the couch talk and more of the commercial talk. What were you saying during the commercial? That's what people are hungry for.
They are.
Like, they want to hear Sinbad be like, I can leave my body, not I have a new special coming out.
Right. Like, and
you're right.
And how excited do you get, whether it be a talk show or a radio show, if they come back and the host is laughing hysterically going, oh my God,
it's horseshit,
please say what you just said in the break or something.
Like, that would be so great. But it's horseshit if you're just left out of that moment, which you often are.
Right. And it sucks because that they were themselves. They were the Sinbad that talks about all that shit and not hey, Jingle on the Way 2 is coming out.
Right.
Well, don't joke about that right now. Don't toy with my
emotions. Don't you joke about that.
Turbo Man. Come on.
Turbo Man.
Turbo Man?
Turbo Man.
Yeah.
Have you not seen Jingle All the Way?
No.
It is a all-time holiday classic, Pete Holmes.
I hate that that's going to be the one movie I push on you because
Jingle
if
all
we really
way.
Got into film, there's probably other films you and I both haven't seen that we would like to push on each other, but... But I want to push Jingle All the Way on
no
you.
No way.
It's Arnold's...
Jingle All the No Way.
Said Ebert and Roper.
Citizen Kane, go fuck yourself. Let me tell you about Jingle All the Way.
Here's the premise, and just tell me if you want to see it based on that.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's son.
I'm in.
He just bought a ticket.
Oh my God. I genuinely just exploded with laughter because your timing. I was so, because you saw how excited
you
I was to give
it.
That
you
entire
were
synopsis.
It. You were into it.
And you were like, you know what? The only way I can interrupt him and still make him happy is to tell him I want to see it.
No, tell me. Arnold Schwarzenegger's son.
His son. There's a toy called it's the new hot toy of the year. It's
Turbo
like the
Man.
Tickle Me Elmo, right?
Yeah.
It's a hot item, so it's everyone's rushing to the stores. And Schwarzenegger and Sinbad are both going there to get it for their kid,
and they're both sort of this is Christmas Eve. They have to find this toy.
Last minute dads on
Christmas Eve.
Last minute dads. Yeah. Do you say last minute dance or last minute dads? Last minute dads.
That's a sitcom. That has to be a sitcom.
Yeah.
Last minute dads. starring Paul Reiser.
From the producers Empty Nest
comes Last Minute Dad Paul Reiser.
So they basically just go on a journey to get that toy, and I think going all over the city.
Wait, they go together?
No, they end up like always running into each other to fight over the toy. Yeah, a lot of those. A lot of I'll have you first. And you don't have shit. You know. And then
no, I love my son more. That's why I had to get him Turbo Man.
Man, I gotta get this motherfucker. You know.
Man, you are Turbo Man. Let it go.
It's so funny you say that because spoiler alert, that kind of happens in the end.
Yeah. Well,
really?
Geez,
Oh,
I mean, you know,
that makes sense.
The more I'm talking about it out loud, the more I'm realizing there's other movies I could tell you to watch.
Is the ending he dresses up like Turbo Man?
Oh my God!
Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't get the doll. Dresses up like Turbo Man
in the parade, though, and so the kids at the parade, and then it's like he reveals that it's Schwarzenegger, and he's like Dominic is me or whatever his kid's name, something with a D.
Dana. That's True Lies.
Yeah. Danny Manigan,
and now
last action hero.
Three Arnold Schwarzeneggers talking simultaneously about their favorite kind of tea.
I really enjoy it, but if it's like
chamomile tea,
that gives me so much.
I'm coming so hard.
That was orgasmic.
I think.
By the way, I just said chamomile 9 times in a row because I wanted to listen to what you guys were saying.
I was just saying oolong. What about that?
I think I just said Earl Grey.
There you go. I think we should end on three Schwarzeneggers talking about their favorite kind of tea.
You have to, Pete. You're super easy.
Close, strong.
You have to come back at some point because there's a lot more back. I want to talk to you about.
I'm flattered that you were so informed.
We had an outline. We maybe asked we had one thing.
Okay. Well, that means it was okay.
Exactly.
I do that's radio, great. And people are like, "So you have the E-Trade, baby?" And I'm like, "Oh, come on, please."
Yeah, and you know what? That's one. And that's there's also things I know, and I try to like also listen to your podcast, but just other. If we're gonna have somebody on who's done other podcasts, I try to listen to some other stuff.
That's like great.
My buddy's nephew of Lisa Kudrow, so we had her on, and so I try to listen to other interviews that were podcast oriented, so I could be like, I don't want to repeat stories,
because
even though our listeners would probably love to hear some great friend story, I was like, it's not going to be fresh for her to want to retell it.
So are you all actually friends?
So the E-Trade baby stuff, we would have talked about it differently. So,
the problem is when I do radio and we talk about E-Trade, I actually for Cobbs, I was like, don't come if you want to see the E-Trade baby, because that's always a bad audience.
Yeah, there are people who
back in the day, it was obviously my biggest credit, and it would say E-Trade Baby Pete Holmes like in some mall club, and I'm like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah,
it's gonna be my mom would want to see that show. And but then
you
I'm
had,
up there
but at the point you had like Best Week Ever and Comedy Central stuff.
Yeah, they could have done that, but they went with E-Trade Baby. And then
well, that shows you the popularity of that commercial, but also like not doing you a service by or them a service by putting
yeah
that
yeah
up,
I mean, they're not gonna be happy. You'll sell more tickets and then they're gonna be like, why is he talking? I'm not even that dirty, but what do you think the E-Trade Baby's gonna do?
For right. stand-up.
Like, what is he gonna do?
Yeah, his stand-up's gonna be like, man, I like to diversify her portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and I'm a baby. Good night.
Did people actually like say to you after some of those shows, being like, I didn't do any baby material?
I get that sometimes. And then sometimes I'll yell out E-Trade Baby, and then I'll do it. I'll go, frowned upon in this establishment, right? And then they'll go, that's not you. I'm like, okay.
They'll say that's not you.
I often will get that's not you, and I'm like, that is such a genius move to pretend to be the E-Trade Baby. That would be the biggest baller
Who would
move.
Have the balls to do that? Like,
I mean, go with God. I will never. If I heard a man say to a woman at a bar, "You know, I'm the E-Trade Baby," I would never be like, "Actually, I'm."
Tap
I'd, be like, I'd be like, ah,
"You might." That's one instance.
Maybe if it was me. Yeah. But if you hear another man do that, let him go.
You know what? In that case, I'm gonna try to pick up women saying that I am the Geico Gecko.
Why not?
Why not?
They're gonna make you do the voice though.
Can you do it?
Absolutely. Wait, is it pretty close?
Is that
like,
one?
It's like Australian, right?
Yeah, it's like it's some weird hat.
So many people. So many people. I can't.
So many people. Hey,
with the Geico app.
Oh!
There it is. Locked onto it. So that's all.
It.
That's all I gotta say. With the Geico app.
That's good. Or you can do what I do, which go, it's too loud in here, which it always is.
Oh, that.
It's
brilliant.
It's just me lowering my voice, and you won't be able to hear me. And they're like, oh, because it's this. So I'm looking at my apps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you do that at a party and everyone's like, what? And it fucking sucks.
Do you do a lot of voiceover?
A decent amount. I would say not as much as I like because I really enjoy doing it. I love voiceover booths.
Yes, me too.
The wood panel.
It's the coolest thing ever.
Tea and snacks.
Your voice will never sound better.
Yeah, you're in this amazing microphone with amazing earphones.
Right.
And the subtlety of doing it. Doing E-Trade was so fun because it was all about subtlety.
Yep.
But you can't do that. Even in a, people will be like, do Batman at the stand-up, and I have to move the mic away and go, Harvey Dent. Because it doesn't sound, Harvey Dent. It sounds good on this mic, you know what I mean? But like when I do it at stand-up, it doesn't sound right in that kind of microphone. You need a voiceover.
That's Batman for the College Humor videos.
Yeah, bad man. Bad man.
Can we do a quick Michael Caine talking to Batman?
Yeah.
But it's about going to see one Black Voorhees.
Okay.
Who's doing Michael Caine? You or me? Because I don't know. Because
you do Michael Caine, and I'll be. Well, you know who I'll be.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
I'll be Tony Danza.
Okay,
Tony Danza is not the Robin. He's the maybe he's the chef. So he's coming in. Yeah, I'm gonna come in at one point, asking what you guys want for dinner.
And then, I forgot what we were talking.
One Black Voorhees.
One Black. You guys, yeah.
Alfred.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. White.
I got tickets to see one Black Voorhees. Do you want to go?
As much as I would like to see that movie with you, I saw that movie back in the Gandhis next to a boy who's kicking around a ruby the size of a tangerine. And it really ruined the entire experience for me. But, Mr. Wayne, I am your butler. I will drive you there.
Thank you, Alfred. Oh, my God. Tony Danza.
Hey, guys, I hate to interrupt, but I had a couple questions about the menu tonight. Am I going to go with Chef Boyardee's beefaroni, or I've got some hamburger helper? It says it's dated from 2007. I think that's okay. Hamburger helper usually doesn't have an expiration date. You know, a funny thing about expiration dates, I was on the subway last week.
Sleep darts.
Angela! Which is what he yells when he gets shot with sleep darts.
Excellent.
Oh, man.
Follow him on Twitter at Pete Holmes.
Yeah.
Go to his website, see his live stand up dates, and subscribe to his podcast, You Made It Weird.
Yeah, it's
with Pete Holmes.
It's my favorite podcast.
I'll be in Portland and Boston.
It'll be out next week. So
all sorts of stuff. Yeah, that's all coming up.
So all your tour dates, PeteHolmes.com.
Yeah, PeteHolmes.com.
Go see his stand up.
Go see him.
Go watch Pete Holmes show clips on the website too.
Online, period. Forever. Period.
Thanks, Pete Holmes.
Yeah, guys, thank you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.